Good morning. Welcome to the fellowship here again this morning. As Andrew very thoroughly welcomed you, but I too welcome you to the service. I'd like to thank the worship team for taking time to lead us in a time of praise and worship. It truly is a blessing to be able to recognize that through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we are now able to come into the Holy of Holies and worship God Almighty. And do it from a pure heart because of the blood of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus. Recognizing again this morning that we are in some interesting times, some challenging times, and probably all of us at some point or another are kind of like, I want to hear some good news. I want to hear some good news. You know, we hear all the bad things and it's on social media, it's everywhere, it's in the lunchroom, it's when you sit at the table and those kind of things. We start to get a little bit tired of the bad news, okay? So I have some good news for you this morning. Hallelujah. The Word of God is still good, and the news in the Word of God is still good, and it doesn't change. While there is some bad news that we will get to, and then we will get to the good news. And I titled the message this morning, The Good News Is. And we will fill in that blank as we go through the message here this morning. You can turn with me to Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 36. Luke 21, verse 5 through 36. And again, just a reminder to us this morning that the good news is that the Word of God is true. The Word of God is accurate. It doesn't change. And along with that, the bad news is that this morning, if you're here this morning, you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is coming a day when God is going to return, when Jesus is going to return to this earth, and all things are going to cease. Everything is going to stop. Everything is going to be over. And to that person who has not made the Lord Jesus Christ Lord of his life, that's a fearful time. That's bad news. That's bad news for the person who did not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The good news is he can still be accepted today no matter where you're at, that if you have not accepted him as your Savior. See, Jesus is coming back for a spotless church. He is coming back for a spotless bride. And all of us would acknowledge that in our lives there are spots and wrinkles and things that need to be worked out yet. You would agree with me. And so I believe that the Scripture leads us to that point. So let's read together the Scripture here in Luke 21, verses 5 through 36. It says this, "Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned in beautiful stones and donations, he said," Jesus that is, "these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And so they ask him, saying, Teacher, when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And he said, Take heed that you do not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near, therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and the prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. Verse 20, but when you see When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. That's the bad news. Let's get on with the good news. And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distresses of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then they, and maybe that's us, I don't know, maybe that's us. When he says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Your redemption draws near. When these things start to happen, look up, lift up your head. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. It is not your judgment. It is your redemption that is happening. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will in no means pass away. Verse 34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare to those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So, that's a mouthful, okay? And I'm not going to try to develop every aspect of this here message that I believe that God has laid on me to share with you this morning. But the what I believe that God has laid on my heart to share with you this morning is caught in that last verse. Watch, therefore, and pray always. Watch and pray always. So how is it that we can grumble and complain and we can be fearful and we can be everything else when we're watching and praying, while we're watching and praying? So looking at how this here, these events unfold, and thinking about probably this question has crossed the minds of many people today when we look at the things that are happening around the world and what is going on? What is going on? What is God's plan? What is happening? What is being fulfilled as it relates to prophecy? Is there anything that we should that should draw our minds and our hearts to really be watching and praying? What is going on? What's happening? And I look at this here scripture and look at the first in verse 6. Well, it says, then some of them spoke of the temple and how it was adorned, beautiful stones and donations. And he said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And we know that truth to have already happened. We know that that is a fact, that the temple was destroyed and there was not one stone left upon another, because the soldiers went after the gold that ran down when the temple was burnt. The gold ran down between the stones and they tore the stones apart to get to the gold. And I did some research. I did some reading on what happened there at that time when the temple and Jerusalem were destroyed. And it is a horrific scene. It is something like none of us have ever seen. I don't think the world has seen since, because I think Jesus says that there will be a tribulation like that has happened again. The things that happened when the temple and Jerusalem were destroyed, and I'm just going to read a little bit about how that happened. And If you find yourself getting tired, just press right in here in this area. That'll wake you up a little bit. It stimulates your mind. So if you get tired while I'm reading, I don't mind if I see you going like this, because that'll get your brain going again. I don't know what it does, but it does work. The Romans destroyed the temple at Jerusalem in 70 AD. 70 AD was when the temple was and Jerusalem were destroyed. In the year of 66 AD, the Jews of Judea rebelled against their Roman masters. In response, the Emperor Nero dispatched an army under the generalship of Vespasian to restore order. By the year of 68, resistance in the northern part of the province had been eradicated, and the Romans turned their full attention to the subjugation of Jerusalem. That same year, the Emperor Nero died by his own hand, creating a power vacuum in Rome. In the resulted chaos, Vespasian was declared emperor and returned to the imperial city. It fell to his son Titus to lead the remaining army in the assault on Jerusalem. The Roman legions surrounded the city and began slowly to squeeze the life out of the Jewish stronghold. By the year of 70, the attackers had breached Jerusalem's outer walls and had begun a systematic ransacking of the city. The assault culminated in the burning and destruction of the temple that served as the center of Judaism. In victory, the Romans slaughtered thousands. Of those sparred from death, thousands were enslaved and sent to toil in the mines of Egypt. Others were dispersed to arenas throughout the empire to be butchered for the amusement of the public. The temple's sacred relics were taken to Rome, where they were displayed in celebration of the victory. The rebellion sputtered on for another 3 years and was finally extinguished in 73 AD with the fall of various pockets of resistance, including the stronghold of Macedonia. And if you read the account as Josephus wrote it, it is a horrific scene. It is a scene that is bloodbath, bodies piled up, blood running down the steps of the temple. And it is the cries. He talks about the cries of the people, the Jewish people, when they saw the temple and the Holy of Holies being decimated or desecrated or whatever it was. I'm not using the right word. But they saw this happening, and they rose up to protect it. And the cries against the Romans, and the Romans, their cries against the Jews, they were so angry. They were so filled with hatred. The Romans came in and they destroyed the Jews. And even when they were told to stop, to retreat, the soldiers kept on going and killing the Jewish people because they had such a hatred. And I thought about the verse that Jesus said, "You will be hated by all men for my name's sake." And I look at that and I view what happened. And I see what happened with the Jews. And yes, I do need to be careful where I walk here. It's like the blind leading the blind. We both fall in a ditch. But anyway, the horrific scene and how the people were destroyed and how the city was destroyed and the temple was destroyed and everything that the people believed was right and good and was supposed to happen and continue for who knows when until the end of time was being destroyed. And as I thought about this, and I thought about the whole wearing a mask and staying at home and isolating socially and all that stuff, and I thought about the difference of what they experienced because they were the children of God or the people of God, and what we're experiencing. There is a lot more that could happen. There's a lot more that could happen. And I know that people are enamored by the end time scenes and how the end times are going to unfold. And I am not here to tell you that I'm prophesying this morning one bit. But I am here to tell you this morning that we, as God's children, had better wake up, watch, and pray. Wake up, watch, and pray. Because it is a time not to be sleeping. It is a time to be awake, It's a time to be in touch with what is happening. And I have a whole lot more that I could read on that whole scene there with the temple being destroyed. And so the question comes up in this scripture, is Jesus talking to the disciples about something that they were going to experience? Or was he talking about something that is for the future that you and I may be experiencing? The answer is yes. Because I believe that he spoke to both of them. I believe that he spoke to both of them. The destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple. And he spoke to both of those. And those are the things that we see happening in this here scripture. And so the bad news is that this stuff happened. And there will be things that will be happening in our time or our children's time or our children's children. I don't know when. And never will I put a date or a time or a scenario of how the end times, when they might come about. But I call you back again. The point of this message is that the bad news is that there's some really horrible things that will happen. And are we ready? Are we ready? If it is such a struggle to do the things that we're being called to do now, if we are to do the things that says in verse 12, but before all these things, they will lay hands on you, persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and the prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Why? For his name's sake. And I don't think here in America we have not really yet begun to be persecuted for following Christ. There are some things, yes, there are some things that I believe that we experience at the hand, but there's very few things that you can name that we are truly being persecuted for following Christ. And I believe that there's a day coming that that will change. I believe there's a day coming that that will change. Where it will be a clearly defined line between those who are God's children and those who are not. I believe that that day is coming. I believe that the reason for Jesus sharing the bad news was to get to the point of telling them the good news. And the good news being that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He is going to return. He left this earth. And when he left there, the angels that were standing there with the disciples said, "Why do you stand gazing? This same Jesus who left is going to come back again." And we believe that, but we don't live like that. We don't live like every day it's a possibility that today Jesus might come. And that's what I want for us. I want us to live in such a way that we are so kingdom-minded. Andrew talked about our allegiance to two different kingdoms and the quandary that places in our lives. But I want us to be so kingdom-minded that we are so aware of the fact that Jesus is going to come someday. And it could be today. It could be in the next moment. It might be before I'm done preaching. If he does, hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you, we need to live watching and praying. Watching and praying. And I'll be honest with you. I admit that I don't live watching and praying. And listen to what it says. And I'm just going to jump to that verse. Just so that we can keep it in our minds through the message here. Watch therefore and pray always, what for? That you may be counted worthy to escape all things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. When's the last time you prayed that way? When is the last time that was in your prayer? That you prayed that you would be worthy to escape all things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's a command from Jesus that we are to do. We are to watch and we are to pray that we are counted worthy to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. We're all in need of good news sooner or later, sometime along the line. We're all in need of good news. And I remember the time I asked Karen to marry me and she said yes. That was good news. That was something that filled my heart with joy. You know, we think of those of you that have gone through cancer and you go to the doctor and he looks at your body, scopes it all out and all that stuff, and he says the cancer is not there. There's no more cancer there. That's good news. That's good news. We like to hear good news. We like to hear that your debt has been paid. Your debt has been paid. You work years, you work hard, and eventually you go to the bank sometime and your debt has been paid in full. And that's a good feeling. It's good news. It's good news when your child accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. A fellow that I work with came to me 2 weeks ago and shared with me that his 10-year-old son had accepted the Lord as his Savior, and he was smiling. He felt good. It was good news. It was good news. You have another grandchild. It's good news. Jim shared a picture of his new grandson or daughter. I'm not sure which. I didn't. Son, grandson with me this morning on his phone. It was good news. It was good news that Jim was sharing. We all need good news sometime or another. And the good news this morning is that Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. This is not it. This is not the end of it. The end of it is when Jesus returns in the power of his glory and he retrieves all the saints from all corners of the earth and takes them to be with him in heaven. Hallelujah. That's the good news. That's the good news. I'm reminded of the song by the Gaither Vocal Band, and I'll share it here at the end of the service, but it's titled, "The King is Coming, The King is Coming." Praise God, he's coming for me. I'm not going to just share the whole line, but some of you probably recognize it. I don't particularly like the Gaither Band, their style of music, but I will play it for you because I want you to hear the lyrics, okay? I think the lyrics are good, and I want you to catch that. But I'm here to tell you that we're not going to get out of this world alive unless we're here when Jesus comes, plants his feet on this earth. So why is it that all of our energy, all of our being is about living longer than even what God has promised us sometimes? Well, we put energy into it. You know, we want to live. We do everything we can to live. But I believe the best way to live is when you are watching and praying for that coming. When you are watching and praying, then the things of this earth grow strangely dim. You see, there is a goal. There is something that holds your heart. There is something that connects you with that kingdom that is not here, or is not physical, but is here. Because Jesus said his kingdom come and his will be done. So the kingdom of God is present with us, within us. And so when we're connected with that, then if things get worse, if things go bad, if we are persecuted, if we are challenged, if we are placed in some really unrealistic places and challenging times, we have something to hold on to. Mom, things could and probably will get worse before Jesus returns. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? Because we put so much energy into our security. We put so much energy into our freedom. We put so much energy into our rights. Are you okay with those being taken? Do you still have a kingdom? Do you still have a God? Do you still have a king if it's all stripped away? I'm reminded the saying that Mom said, cheer up, things could get worse. I cheered up, and sure enough, they got worse. You know, when our hearts and our minds are fixed on that kingdom that Andrew talked about, when our hearts and minds are fixed on that kingdom, are we disappointed when this kingdom don't work out? Certainly. Certainly, without a doubt. But we have one shot, we have one chance, we have one opportunity at life. And I challenge you not to waste it. I challenge you not to waste it worrying and fretting about this kingdom. Don't waste it worrying and fretting about this kingdom. I was reminded of the song, and it's not a Christian song. The lyrics, give me one more shot. Give me one more shot. Give me one more chance. Give me one more chance. And that is exactly what Jesus has given us. He has reminded us again that this kingdom, this world, this is not it. This is not all it is. Give me one more chance. Give me one more shot. Another one is, I'm in a hurry to get things done, a rush until life's no fun. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush till life's no fun. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. Maybe you're here and you feel like you're rushing around. The things aren't coming together. Ends aren't meeting. Stop, take a deep breath. And whose kingdom are you a part of, as Andrew shared? You see, God has never failed a promise. This is a beautiful thing about God's word. He has never failed a promise. He promised to destroy the earth with a flood, and he did. And he promised to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with fire, and he did. God promised to send his son as a baby into the world, and he did. God promised that his son would die for our sins, and he did. God promised that he would raise his son from the dead, and he did. God promised that Jesus would return to him, and he did. God promised that Jesus would come again, and he will. He will. He will, without a shadow of a doubt. And again, like I said earlier, I know that people are somewhat enamored by the whole end times, and if you look at movies and those kinds of things, and there are those that have predicted times when Jesus was going to come back, they put dates to it and that kind of thing. And just going to give you one of those accounts. In 1988, a former NASA engineer and Bible student named Edgar Weisnert published a pamphlet called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. Well, we know that didn't happen. Amen. He predicted that Jesus would return between the sunset of September 11th, 1988 and sunset of September 13th, 1988. By September of that year, the Weisnert had sold 4.5 million copies of the pamphlet and sent it for free to 300,000 pastors. There were reports of people selling their possessions, putting their pets to sleep, and camping out on hilltops to witness the second coming. One travel agency began booking tours to Israel to witness the second coming of Jesus in Israel. The travel agency's brochure stated, "We stay at the Intercontinental Hotel right on the Mount of Olives, where if this is the year of the Lord's return, as we anticipate, you may even ascend to glory from within a few feet of where he ascended." Wow, pretty appealing. The cost of the trip was $1,975 from Los Angeles and $1,805 from New York. But just to be on the safe side, in case the whole rapture thing didn't work out, the airfare was round trip. Okay. So we see how committed he was to that, or they were, the people that were selling the trips on this. You see movies titled Armageddon and all that kind of stuff, you know, showing, have this idea of the end of the world. The end of the world is coming, and it's a fearful thing, and there's all this stuff goes on. There's all these here things, the apocalypse and those types of things that we see titles of. And then we ask ourselves, what is going on? What is going on? In all the chaos, in the turmoil around the world, in all the chaos, is this the time? Is this the time? Could this be the time that God is going to say, game over, game over, and Jesus is going to return? And if so, I ask you this morning, does that fill your heart with fear? Or does that fill your heart with anticipation? What does it do to you when you think about the clouds breaking open and Jesus coming in all his glory and all this stops, is ended? What does it do to you? Does it fill your heart with fear, or does it fill your heart with hope? You see, the Bible says that as it was in the days of Noah, so be in the coming of the Son of Man. And the people in the days of Noah, they didn't believe the message that Noah was sending. They didn't believe the message that God sent through Noah. They did not believe that the world would be destroyed by a flood. And we are here this morning, and we are told that this world is going to be destroyed with fire sometime not too far out. This world is going to be destroyed by fire. Are we prepared? Are we prepared for that to happen? The majority of people, unfortunately, in America are eating and drinking and partying and marrying and raising children, planting crops and going out fishing, making money, playing sports, sending text messages and selfies. How often do we stop? How often do we stop and say, could it be today? Could this be the day? See, it doesn't enter our minds. See, I want it to be in our minds. I want it to be in our minds that this is truly going to happen. It's truly going to happen. It is going to happen. It is going to happen. In American culture, unfortunately, it seems like people are just doing what is right in their own eyes. Right in their own eyes. Not giving a heart to the fact that the Word of God is being ignored. Sin is being flaunted in broad daylight. In broad daylight. We don't even blush anymore at some of the things that would have made us blush 100 years ago. Think about it. We have been desensitized. We have been desensitized to sin. And we don't blush anymore. We laugh at the jokes that are unclean. We've closed our minds to the truth that is found in God's Word. We've lost our way because we've turned from Jesus. I'm talking about our American culture, which I'm so glad that I can be part of, that I've had the experience. But you and I know that there are lost and dying souls who need to know Jesus and need to know that there is coming a time that this is going to end. And those people might be people that you work with. It might be people that you walk past every day that have not heard the message of the gospel. Are we sharing it with them? Do we believe it in our hearts? Do we believe it in our minds? That this is what is going to happen. That they will perish if they don't turn wholeheartedly to God in these last days. How quickly we altered our ways when Dr. Fauci and Governor Wolf declared that there was a pandemic and that we should be washing our hands and that we should be social distancing and that we should wear masks and that we should stay at home. How quickly we changed our way of living. When those people shouted out a warning. And I'm not here to debate right or wrong. What I'm saying is we did. We started washing our hands. We started wearing masks. We started social distancing. We stayed home until we knew more about this whole thing. But the Lord Jesus Christ is crying out that there is coming a time, there is coming a day that if you don't repent of your sin, that if you don't turn to Him and change your way of life, that He is coming. He is coming. You know, we continue to go on living when we have been put, when the sin has been pointed out in our lives, we continue to go on living just exactly like we were living. We go on looking at pornography. We go on being rebellious to every authority that's around us. We go on doing the things that have been deemed okay by society and not changing our ways. But I want you to know that God's timing is perfect. We cannot put a time, we cannot put a place, we can't do that. And that's one of the things that, you know, with farming and all that, the timing is everything. Timing is everything. I believe that I think it's in Luke somewhere, that Jesus said that when the fullness of time had come, and it might even be in our scripture here, but I, when the fullness of time had come, he sent his son. It's in Peter. When the fullness of time had come, he sent his son. When the fullness of time had come. And when the fullness of time comes, and we don't know when that is, then Jesus will return. When the fullness, in his time, timing is everything. Time is everything. That's why if you're reading books and stuff that are telling you about what all has to happen, Jesus says here, and there will be signs, the sun and the moon and stars. Oh, he says the parable of the fig tree. He goes on in verse 29. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding and you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will not pass, and heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will no means pass away. I missed the one I was looking for there, where it says that no man knows the hour, or the day, or the time that this return will happen. So if you're reading books that are saying that X, Y, Z has to happen, but Jesus says you don't know the time, you're supposed to watch and be ready at all times, at any time. So that's one of the problems I have with the whole Left Behind series and all the things that have to fall in place for this, for Jesus to return. That's putting God in a box, is it not? Is that not putting God in a box? Is it not when Jesus said, you don't know the time, you don't know the hour, you don't know. And so therefore watch and always be ready. So it seems that that is putting it somewhat in a box. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And I believe that in this here scripture, as if I would have broke it down more yet, is that Jesus talks about the destruction of Jerusalem that already happened, but he also talks about the coming of the Son of Man and some of the things that will take place at that time. And then he says, in verse 28, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Because your redemption draws near. In brings us back to the original question. Is his second coming of our Lord Jesus good news or bad news? Is it good news or is it bad news for you? As he said, lift up your heads, your redemption draws near. It is not your destruction that draws near. To those of you who have been born again, who are washed in the blood, who have accepted Jesus as your Savior, your redemption draws near. Lift up your heads. Lift up your heads. And I think as it talks about this, he talks about the fig tree and seeing that if you have any kind of there's things that are shaping up. There's things that, and maybe not in our time, because I know that time, God doesn't operate in the same time that we do, but there's things that are shaping up. And are you ready? And are you watching? And are you praying? Because your redemption draws near. Your joy, your eternal life draws near. The end of all temptation, sickness, fear, and death draws near. And nearer. This, my friends, is good news. This is good news. This is good news to live for. So I trust this morning that your mind and your heart are fixed on the good news. And the good news is that Jesus is coming. He is coming. He has not forgotten us. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, Scripture says, we'll guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to look in your word. I know, Lord, that there's a lot more that could be said about this scripture that was read here this morning. I pray that you would take it and you would mold it into our hearts, that you would impress it upon our minds. Lord, I pray that the words that are shared would not be able to be taken away by the enemy. God, I pray that you would protect the message, that as it has reached our hearts, Lord, that it would reflect truly what you wanted to speak to us this morning. God, I pray that our strength, our faith, and our hope would continue to be in you. God, increase our faith. Lord, as we see things that trouble us going on around us, Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith and that we would be able to continue to give you honor and praise and lift you up as the one and only God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to share together. I thank you that you do allow us to fellowship together. I thank you for the food that has been prepared. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the food. I pray that you would strengthen our bodies with it. I pray that you would cleanse the food of all impurities and that it would be good for our bodies. And so we give this here time and place to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, I'm going to have you stand and we're going to listen to this song by the Gaither Band if you guys got it together. Again, I want you to listen or read the lyrics of the song. It speaks to the King is coming, and he is.